Hello, everyone. We are back gathered together, the fabulous original four. It's fantastic to have you guys around the table in such strange times. It's St. Patrick's Day and the pubs are empty. Not many people are out in the streets in green today. I think they're wearing green at home. We will obviously be talking about the coronavirus and the status of Premier League and how we're feeling right now. With us, it's Jamie Webster. Hello, Jamie.
Hello. Good to be back.
Are you feeling well?
Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
And no cough from David Fairclough either?
Not yet. No, I'm approaching that danger barrier. I'll be locked in at home soon. Hopefully, all fit and well.
With all your toilet rolls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Give my cigarettes away.
Okay, I won't then. But we know he's got lots of toilet rolls. But Jamie, you had a bit of a battle last night.
Yeah, it was just been making jokes about it all weekend for the past couple of weeks. But I think we actually ran out of toilet rolls in our house last night. So my mum had asked my dad to get some, and he couldn't get any on the way in. Or a couple of people in the house had been to the shop, so I decided to try my luck. Having heard that my girlfriend's mum had been to Aldi that day and there was toilet rolls in, I went to Aldi last night and there was no toilet rolls. But have faith, this is a good time, I suppose, to have faith in your local corner shops, you know, in all this madness where people are panic buying for no reason whatsoever. Go to your local corner shop because there'll be absolutely loads there. I went and got a load of Andrex, and funny enough, once I got home, my dad had got home at the same time and he'd actually bought toilet roll as well. So now you have been stocking up. Not far behind you, David.
We're in the commodities market. Yeah.
So the big question now is, James Pearce, how is your situation with a good old toilet rolls?
All right for a couple of weeks, yeah. I don't think I've got stockpiles quite on David's
scale. To be honest, that's... but yeah, this is only a joke, right, everybody.
But you are sorted for a week or two.
Yeah. I think we'll be all right.
It's been a lot of panic travelling around in terms of will the league be cancelled or not, but UEFA had a meeting today. And it's looking like it's going to be good news for the Premier League, James.
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, you know, we still don't really know how this is going to pan out. That's the thing. It's, you know, there's been so many different options put on the table, so much speculation about what might happen since they suspended, you know, pretty much all football activity last Friday. But it's positive, yeah, the fact that UEFA have been decisive, have moved the Euro 2020 back to 2021, effectively now be ready to play the Champions League and the Europa League finals right at the back end of June, which then gives, you know, all the national leagues across Europe, you know, effectively an extra month to try and conclude this season. So, I think, you know, I think the disappointing thing for me over the past week is listening to people from certain clubs coming out and saying things which are just, you know, blatantly all about self-interest rather than the greater good. But, you know, thankfully there does seem to be a growing consensus that this season needs to be completed before anyone even thinks about next season. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that has to be the way forward.
I was on live Norwegian TV yesterday with the head of Everton Football Club in Norway, and he, you know, he was happy for the season to be cancelled. Thoughts on that? Pretty bitter or what?
Well, I think they couldn't believe their luck that the Everton-Liverpool fixture was postponed. I think the things that Everton will do to not see us win the league at Goodison, but... James is right, and I think that is the only common sense conclusion for me is don't worry about next year. Next year's not here yet. The fact that some were saying, you know, about how are you going to then get to the starting point of next season, and clearly you handle the hurdle that's ahead of you, and the hurdle is to complete this season, and hopefully common sense prevails in that sense. I think the fact that, you know, the likes of Juve, Real Madrid, Liverpool, and, you know, one or two of the other top teams will have a keen interest that the season is played out, I think carries some sort of power, I think, in terms of coming to a unilateral agreement.
Have you been panicking, Jamie, that this season where we've been flying so high, was for no good?
Do you know what? I tend not to panic. I mean, I agree with everything that was that's been said there by yourself, David, and James. As a Liverpool fan, you just gotta get it in your head, haven't you? That, you know, we will be champions at the end of the year. That's my motto. Just don't worry too much. Just it'll all sort itself out. But if I was an Everton, Man United, Man City fan, so I'd probably be playing for the league to be halted here and there and voided. But obviously, I don't think they can let that happen. You know, looking at the. I think even written in the rules, I think because we've played over 75% of our games, I think it's in the FA rules anyway, that if the season was a halt, we'd be crowned champions because of where we are with the games played and stuff like that. So I don't really think there's, like I say, any reason to panic on the football front. just make sure everyone's well and, crack on when we're told to crack on.
But no one has seen a virus like this before, David. This can go on for months. I have a friend who is a doctor in biology, and she says the peak will arrive somewhere between, around May, but the peak can peak into June. But then, as she said, you know, this is a new virus. We do not know how it's going to operate. What if this drags on for months and months?
Well, there's a lot of guessing going on out there, I suppose, and theories are coming and going. One theory is certainly that seems to be that the warmer weather will help combat it a little bit. So if our weather picks up for us, perhaps that might be a help. Obviously, places in Europe better situated than us, but I think there's so many unknowns attached to this. This is totally unique circumstances. There's nobody alive has experienced anything of this nature. So the first thing is, you know, the concern is for those nearest and dearest to you. You know, we've all got mums and in-laws who are, you know, at sort of dangerous age levels, and that's probably, to be honest, that is the major concern. Football is a secondary. You know, different things have been said about football and its importance, but at the end of the day, it's still only a game.
James, Jürgen Klopp, we love him so much already, but the world loved him even more after he came out and said what he said after the decision was made that football was completely suspended until at least April. And now even the director of the World Health Organization is praising Jürgen for setting such a good example. It is quite generous to think and talk and act like that when you are fearing to lose the title.
Yeah, spot on. I thought his statement he put out was very classy. To be honest, what we've come to expect from him, I think, you know, he summed it up perfectly when he said football is the most important of the least important things in life. And he's right, you know, this goes so much bigger than that. It would be ridiculous for the Liverpool manager or any of the players to be publicly talking about their own disappointment at the fact that these title celebrations have, you know, at least been put on ice, because, you know, people are losing their lives. So this was much more important than that. Even, you know, today I was in town in a cafe where staff are in tears, so they've just been laid off. You know, people are losing their jobs all over the place, and it's, you know, massively worrying times. So I thought, you know, you contrast the way Klopp spoke to, you know, Karen Brady, the vice chairman of West Ham, coming out and saying that she thinks the season should be declared null and void. You know, that's just blatant self-interest from an executive that knows that her club, if the fixtures were played out, was in serious jeopardy of being relegated from the Premier League and the financial implications of that. Even Aston Villa's sporting director talking about how he thinks there shouldn't be relegation this season again. You know, coming from a club which is in grave danger of being relegated. So, that's been poor at a time when everyone should just be taking a step back and going, do you know what, there's bigger things than football at the moment. We don't know how this is going to pan out. Let's just wait and see. But I think, you know, the biggest thing for me is I can't understand this talk about, you know, this season can't be allowed to impact on next season. Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there shouldn't even be a next season until you complete this season, whether that means playing into June or July or even August. You know, this, and it goes much deeper as well than just Liverpool being crowned champions, because I personally wouldn't want Liverpool to just be given the league before it's mathematically certain. You know, of course we know Liverpool are going to win the league, but you know, I don't think Liverpool should just be given the title when mathematically it's not definite. And for the same for Leicester City, a club are on the verge of Champions League qualification, that has to be allowed to be played out. You know, you think of you know the other clubs chasing the top four, the teams at the bottom, even in the Championship. You know, try telling Leeds United fans and West Brom fans that we're declaring this season null and void. You're going to miss out on the Premier League. You know, the implications of that and the legal challenges that would follow would be absolutely immense. So hopefully, we don't know what's going to happen, but hopefully things will ease up a little bit and we can get football back so that the rest of these fixtures can be completed.
As you said, a lot of businesses are suffering right now. We can see now behind us a completely empty bar at Hotel Tia. And we have to say we're terrified of our own future. We are a newly established business. We have huge loans to make this our perfect place. We won't be able to pay our staff very soon, which is heartbreaking because we love our staff so much. And we're not alone, but obviously lives come in front of any sort of business. But, my thoughts go out to everyone in the same situation as Hotel Tia now. You know, we are a lot of businesses who will struggle, and we can only hope that England will come on board like they have in so many other countries right now. The US have put down their interest rates. In Norway, they're promising all the businesses they won't suffer. They're paying payments. Well, they give people who are now out of work money from on a daily basis, so no people will suffer more than they have to. And Boris, I hope you come up with some good solutions later today or in the following days, because this is dramatic for a lot of people. But David, do you think it was wise that all these guys from Madrid, one of the cities heavily sort of affected by the coronavirus in Europe, got to enter Liverpool and come to Anfield last week?
Quite a strange decision, really. Short-sightedness on behalf of organisers of the fixture, that a city that had been affected so greatly in the early days of the coronavirus should allow 3,000 people to embark and sort of move into Liverpool for 24 hours or so. And I suspect people will be thinking that in some way it will impact on us as a city because of their, unfortunately they were allowed to wander around and they visited bars and clubs and, various attractions in the city. So it was a strange one. And I think I think some people were talking about it on the night, but clearly within, the hours after the game, it was an obvious sort of own goal by the organisers to have that presence.
Yeah, we took that decision on the day that no Madrid fans were allowed into Hotel Tia, just for the safety of our guests, basically. Normally, on a normal day, they would have been welcome. Jamie, how do you feel about this pandemic? Are you scared or?
I mean, it's worrying. Looking at scenes in Italy, to think that I read that just in one, well, I didn't read or watch on the news yesterday, that there was just in one small town in Italy, there's 800 people critically ill from coronavirus. I mean, that's frightening when you think of a small town. You think, the stresses of the health services are under and stuff like that. That is the worry. I mean, but ultimately, I mean, I'm no expert on how to deal with it. I just think you've just got to be vigilant, but not be stupid. I mean, I'm going out and, just getting on with the day-to-day tasks like most of us are. I think that's the way to be until we're told otherwise. Not that the advice from Mr. Johnson was very comforting or clear in any way.
He just said stay away from public areas, stay away from pubs. He didn't say pubs need to close, so it's his responsibility.
No, because if he says pubs need to close, then it is his responsibility, and he needs to, him and his government need to pay for
the losses,
reparations, basically. And he that's the last thing that he wants to do. With, I think, don't get me wrong, I do think it's frightening in a way that the government seem to be more concerned about the economy than they do the welfare of people. But at the same time, where we are in Liverpool at the minute, it seems it, there isn't a pandemic as yet in terms of the sickness. I think there's a pandemic in terms of the supermarkets and what people, how people are acting. But I think overall, I think there was actually a poll, actually, and they asked everybody in all the different areas of the UK, and Liverpool was apparently the least asked about the whole thing. I don't think that's in a sort of negligent way. I think that's just in terms of how you are as people, like you said today, David. Everyone seems to be a lot nicer on the streets. Everyone seems to be like, well, you know what, we're here and it is what it is. We can't avoid it. If it's in the air, it's in the air, isn't it? You know, but we're all still people at the end of the day, and the fact that people are being nicer to people on the streets, that's a good thing, and it just shows you what this city's all about, really. So, yeah, I suppose it is worrying because of what we're told and what we're seeing, but, you know, I can't really give you my perspective on it until it started to get into us and started to affect people we know, then you really know how bad it is. I mean, I was one of the... You do, when you see these things in China going on, you think, oh, yeah, it's over there, it's not going to come here. And it still almost feels like that a little bit now. I think there's a few cases, but it just feels a little bit like, well, it's not here yet. You know, it's almost as if, like, we're waiting for the army to come marching over the hill. And I don't know. It's just... I think we're all just going to have to wait a couple more days and just try and, you know, my heart goes out to everybody who's losing, you know, money, who's losing, all the small businesses, there's even bigger businesses who are going to suffer in all of this, and the staff of those big businesses are going to suffer. It's got a knock-on effect. You know, we just need to sort of make sure that we're all here to look after each other in these, you know, in these times until the government decides to step up and, you know, put in place this next sort of phase of planning and that they say that they've got, whether we're going to go into lockdown. And if that happens, then obviously, like you mentioned, in all the other countries, people are going to have to be reimbursed in one way or another and looked after. Now, until that happens, all I can say is just, you know, don't be stupid, but don't be scared into your own shadow sort of thing, because before you know it, you might not be able to go out. So I suppose do what you're doing. Just keep being nice. Do you know what I mean? If you see someone on the street, say hello to them. You don't know how long you're going to... When the next time you're going to pass them, you're going to your local shop. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know, just try and have a good outlook on what we're seeing now, because in some countries, as you say, they're not really going out and smelling the air and everything else. So just...
Homeschooling for their kids.
Yeah, just enjoy being with your mates while you can, and you know, obviously just look after your loved ones. If anyone does fall into the, you know, the category of people who may be more vulnerable, then just look after them and just be safe and don't be stupid. There's not much else I can say on it. And just if there's all one thing I will is don't let social media be the answer, because you could conspire about a lot of things on social media. We could conspire that these seats aren't seats, these seats are decorations. Do you know what I mean? And whichever way you look into that conspiracy is the way that you're going to believe it. So don't, you know, no one, like we've said, no one's certain on what this actually is, what it's going to do. There's people telling us it's a flu, it's a cold, and then there's people telling us it's much more serious than that. Just don't let social media be your only outlet, because social media is tailored to what people like you are looking at. So you might not get both sides of the story on whatever you're looking at. So just be clean and hope for the best, really, but in the most positive way possible. Like, it's not doomsday. There's not zombies walking on the streets, you know what I mean? People aren't dropping dead. It's in severe cases... People are getting sick and, in the worst cases, dying. But, you know, this is relatively new. There's, you know, you know how good some of the doctors are in the world, and people are working on things every day, aren't they? So until a fat lady's singing, just don't be defeated about it, and just try your best to get on as normal, I suppose.
David, do you think fear can make life worse? The fact that we are so anxious of getting ill and catching it, and the effect it might have, because what they say for now is that 1 out of 20 can be severe cases, and most of the others get symptoms?
Yeah, obviously we've heard about certain groups, you know, those with underlying problems certainly need to be careful, and we have to really take that on board. But I mean, there will be groups, as you say, who it'll be only a light form of illness. From what you hear, I mean, at the end of the day, we are only all going on hearsay and various reports. But I mean, some populations are much older than we have here, so you can see that effect sort of as obvious. Because, you know, we do have to be careful more for the older people, I think, than younger people. But at the end of the day, you can only do what you can do, and hopefully everybody else is adhering to the same kind of message that we're being asked to take.
James, like myself, you have kids in the UK schools, and our Prime Minister went out yesterday, and this might change when you listen to this podcast, by the way, because this changes from day to day. It's now Tuesday, and what's the day today? The 17th, yeah. Also, of course, it's St. Patrick's Day. And as much as the Prime Minister says that we should avoid mass gatherings, he still wants our kids to go to school. And in the school that your kids go to, they can't even wash their hands in the canteen. No sanitizers, no sinks to sort that sort of business before they eat even. What do you think about that? And that's the case in most schools in England, by the way. Our school, you know, that's a good school, but still, that's just the case of the UK hygiene in primary schools.
Yeah, I think, you know, the most difficult thing has been all the mixed messages that you get from different people. It's difficult to make sense of the advice we're getting, because there doesn't seem to be any clear policy and a way to approach it. And of course you think to yourself, well, part of the reason is because they've never been in this position before, of course. But yeah, you can trust the way that things have been handled here compared to overseas. And I think, you know, even last week, watching the Prime Minister talk about there was no need to cancel mass gatherings. You know, even the Premier League putting out a statement on Thursday evening, saying that the games were still going to go ahead as planned. And then within half an hour, Mikel Arteta has been, you know, announced as having the coronavirus, and suddenly that changes everything. So, you know, and then when the Prime Minister then comes out and says, well, you need to avoid pubs and restaurants and theatres, but I'm not telling them to shut. Well, even what does that mean? You know, and yeah, again, with the schools, you know, my daughter was told, you just need to leave more space between you and the next pupil in class now.
So how do you tell a five-year-old that?
Yeah, so it's, I mean, you know, I think it's only a matter of time, isn't it, before the schools do shut. But that's, you know, it's difficult because, there are so many different messages you get. And at the moment, it just feels a little bit surreal. I'm sure it's like that for the Liverpool players as well. You know, they've been, you know, they trained on Friday at Melwood, and then the place got shut down. And since they've been told via WhatsApp that Melwood's on lockdown for a fortnight, which, you know, that could be extended again. But, you know, for 2 weeks training at home on their own, and I've spoken to a couple of them and members of staff, and you know, I think it's just the uncertainty. They're like the rest of us. They don't know what's going on. They, you know, they're waiting for news and for answers, and I'm sure they would have been glued to the updates from the UEFA meeting today, like they'll be glued to the updates from the next Premier League clubs meeting on Thursday, just to try and find out, you know, what goes on. They've all been given individual kind of personal fitness programs to keep to. You know, I think the vast majority of them would have treadmills and gym equipment at their homes, but it's still not the same, is it? And you know, it's all they can do is try and keep it ticking over in the meantime. But we don't know whether this is going to be weeks or months. That's the thing. And then it's not, you know, I know that they've only at the moment suspended all football till April the 3rd, but you know, you speak to people behind the scenes, and there's absolutely no chance that football is going to be back anytime soon. You know, it's, I think probably May at the earliest, and even that we're at the mercy of you know, what happens with the virus in the meantime. So yeah,
and that's when my friend says it will peak. So
yeah, but exactly. And then, you know, you've got a situation where, you know, for argument's sake, you could have the players back at Melwood, and the same for any other Premier League team. Well, how long do you then give them to get back to a level of fitness that they're able to play? Because, you know, there's no way you could just say, right, you know, we're reopening Melwood on the Thursday and you're playing on the Saturday. You know, these are elite athletes. You know, you have to build it back up again to a level. So that's going to be another decision that they're going to have to make. You know, whether, you know, I'm sure further down the line there'll be a debate about do the remaining fixtures, or at least some of them get played behind closed doors. I think that's probably a more realistic idea for the Premier League, because those clubs don't rely massively on the money that comes in from gate receipts. I think if you look at Liverpool's, you know, their finances, you're only talking about 15, 16% of their revenues come from match days over the entire season. You know, the bigger things for them are the media, TV money and the commercial money. But, you know, for teams lower down the ladder in, you know, League One and Two, it's no good for them playing games behind closed doors, because they rely solely on that money through the turnstiles to keep going. You know, there was a story today, Barnett announcing that their 60 non-playing staff have immediately been made redundant. And that's, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to see that more and more. And, you know, there has to be a coherent plan put in place to help those smaller clubs, because, you know, it's serious. You know, it's not just, you know, not only hundreds and thousands of people losing their jobs, but we're going to, if things aren't done, then clubs are going to go out of business as well.
David, how on earth as a player do you stay fit as a team player when you are isolated and on your own training for weeks and weeks?
Well, as James points out, some of the guys will have, you know, fitness equipment at home and will be able to do it at a certain level. But there's absolutely no there's no comparison with what they need on a normal working week. And I can only think back to the time when there was heavy. We have a heavy snowy winter some years ago, and we were able to get together. We were training in under the stand, and we were in the old, what's Kenny Dalglish stand now, but it was the Cameron Road stand. We trained inside there, and it was just, you were just playing football. It was kind of just a case of ticking over, but you weren't able to maintain that fitness that you obviously need, and the level of what the lads have been to now, to pick that up, it's going to be very, very strange. And as has been mentioned, at what point, you know, do they return? And then, you know, how many weeks then are they going to be given for preparation? And what will that preparation look like in terms of practice games? Because you're seeing a normal, yeah, normal pre-season, you know, they're having 4-6 preparation games. It's all very, very strange and odd. And, you know, we just don't know exactly. Nobody can, I don't think, can really forecast on how it's all going to be played out.
Jamie, James is mentioning the potential of playing behind closed doors when they eventually start the games again. What would that be like to see Liverpool win behind closed doors as a fan?
It's tough, wouldn't it? You know, everyone's got the visions of as a list for dinner at Goodison or at Anfield. You know, it's one of them things that it's unfortunate. It's horrible, but there's not much more than can be done. You know, in I wish I had the answers for people, but I really don't. It's just, it's going to be sickening. But at the end of the day, what we all want is for Liverpool to be champions at the end of the day. And if that's the only way that it's going to be possible, then that's the way it's going to have to be. That doesn't mean that, I mean, listen, I know they say no mass gatherings, but they'd have a tough job on their hands getting all the Liverpool fans off the streets when this trophy's lifted. So it's, I don't know, I suppose it's, if they are going to carry on with the Premier League, it's within the government's incentives to get this shit sorted out, basically, because there's going to be parties in Liverpool whether we're in the stadium or not, you know what I mean? It's in your nature, isn't it? So let's just, I really don't know what to say on the matter. It's a crazy little time. I've said a few times, I feel like I'm in a movie. So sometimes, just like some of the things that I'm saying to my mates and family and people who I work with, it's just, you feel like they're like lines from a film. It's a bit crazy, a bit surreal that we're even having this conversation, considering 2 weeks ago we were all set for our,
where, you know, do we win it?
Our party at Goodison and everything else. It's just,
have you been thinking during this season, Jamie, like I have sometimes been thinking, is this too good to be true? Am I dreaming? I've been literally sometimes pinching myself in the stand, you know, when we've been winning last minute and the message comes through, City lost another match, and I'm thinking, is this real? Am I dreaming? Am I awake?
Yeah, a little.
And then, is it too good to be true?
It is, yeah. I mean, I suppose you always think, oh, is this too good to be true? But yeah, it's just a really, really tough one. It's it's all down to it's everyone's up in the air. It's we've been unbelievable this season, and it's going to be a crying shame for a mark like this to be left on the 2019-2020 season, because that will, you know, we're all talking about Liverpool being named as maybe the greatest Premier League team of all time. All these things are going to come into question now because of this thing, and you know, as a Liverpool fan, I'm absolutely gutted. But it's just not. There's no answer, is there? It's.
Let's quote John F. Kennedy at the end of this podcast, because that's there's some wisdom in that. And before I do that, I just want to send out my deepest thoughts to everyone who is affected right now by the coronavirus, especially those who have fallen ill and are battling badly with their health or have lost someone in this horrible virus epidemic. I just want to finish this one by quoting John F. Kennedy about the Chinese signs for crisis. It says, "The Chinese use two brush strokes to write the word crisis. One brush stroke stands for danger, the other for opportunity. In a crisis, be aware of the danger, but recognize the opportunity." So thank you for listening. And we'll be back with the highlights of the season so far in the next podcast. Thank you.